-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello and welcome to a massive sports weekend, sports fans, and welcome to -3, presented as ever by Omaha. There's Eddie Spaghetti in his usual spot behind the glass, and there's Kevin Hench in his usual spot, seated high over Hollywood, making all the big decisions for your eyeballs in 2024. In the meantime, we're ready to tell you what's going to happen in 2023, specifically this sports weekend. Close enough. I say it's the weekend. I count Thursday at the time of this recording as my weekend. I hope you do too. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hench, how was yours, fella?
Oh my God. Incredible Thanksgiving. Incredible. You know, it's like, yes, the games were bad, but like bad football beats everything else. Like, you know, I mean, like the Thursday games were bad. The Friday game was bad. But you're still watching football all weekend. Obviously, huge college football tilt on Saturday. Full slate of games on Sunday.
You did that singular. That's not a big college football game. I know, there's so much hash to be said.
The biggest game of them all delivered. What was funny was Ravens Chargers Monday night or Sunday night?
It was Sunday night.
Okay, so. You know, I'm watching, my devastated fantasy team with everybody injured. But so when Herbert gets tippy tapped on the sideline, everybody in our universe freaks out and is like, Hench is going to lose his mind. And I feel like I've failed somehow to explain, like, do you think my point is they need to be throwing more flags on 6 foot, 6 inch, 236 pound quarterbacks wearing pads and helmets, getting a mild graze 8 inches out of bounds? Like, people are like, Hench is going to be pissed. And it's like, no, my whole thing is you should be allowed to hit the giant wearing pads. I don't like that. What's ruining the game is the chicken calls every time you hit the quarterback. So it was like, okay. People were like, Hench is going to be furious. I'm like, no. This is exactly the direction I want it to go in. Don't ruin the game because Justin Herbert's foot is on the white. You know, like let quarterbacks get hit. So I was happy about that non-call, even though it was wrong, technically, letter of the law. But yes, let's move toward being allowed to hit the quarterback as opposed to Washington State, Washington, where they just award the game to the Huskies just because, like, you graze the quarterback in at the critical moment, so they're going to win. Okay, so I just thought it was funny that everyone thought I'd be enraged about them not throwing a
ball. No, I want you to control the argument. You've ascended through deed and word as the mouthpiece of football America's frustration with the referees and their miscalculation of where they are in the pecking order. You know, you do a lot of television and movies, Hench. You know, it matters if you're above the title kind of stuff. I think the referees collectively have decided like they're the leading man now. And like, wait, no. I don't think that's how it works.
A film by Sean Hockley.
It's really bad. Great. I do want to talk about those Ravens quickly. 15-minute pregame show coming at you, 4 p.m. Eastern on Friday. It's a good one. We celebrate some upcoming Super Bowl rematches. Headline. I don't understand why we don't. The NFL is not going to hold up Max McGee as its hero. But the man was drunk in the first Super Bowl, and he caught 2 touchdown passes. We really... As we kind of slide in here to this week's GOAT and GOAT of the week, as celebrating the full range of excellence and putridity in sports and beyond. Where more do you need to go there? Unless you want to go to Deion Sanders, the sportsman of the year, according to Sports Illustrated. 4-8. Who canceled? Matt Canada? What the hell? They're 4-8. He's the sportsman of the year. This is the worst one by far and away, I'm pretty sure. Also, okay, so react to that if you have any thoughts on Deion Sanders, because I do want to go back to the Sunday night game.
That was my GOAT.
What is?
Well, Sports Illustrated, which just got in trouble for using AI writers for their articles. And the thing is this, like, I'm not I believe the person to the cover story is Pat Forty, who is, you know, far and away one He's of the great. Best college football writers. Yeah, absolutely love Pat, so I'm not knocking him. But after a scandal with using artificial intelligence to write your articles, and then obviously the story is probably in the works for months, probably since like September when the team was actually good, but to be that bad in your conference and then to now be losing, this is the scary part, because everyone thought like, yeah, all of Neon's guys aren't there yet, they'll be fine eventually. I know it's some weird times, the Pac-12 kind of disbanding and stuff, but his commits are now decommitting. So that's a really big red flag. So the easy bad go, just no foresight by Sports Illustrated there. You should have pulled the story or let it release during the summer when people kind of calmed down and kind of forgot about how bad the season ended. I mean, like, to start off the way they did and then to end up with that record is brutal. So bad job by SI. And it just puts more negative press on Neon.
I feel like, Hench, we've talked a lot about sunk costs where it comes to drafting a quarterback in the first round, and then you kind of have to talk yourself into it for the next 4 or 5 years when the better move is to just rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, really, what? I mean, okay, so Pat Forty, Colorado guy, pitches this rise. College football head coaching will never be the same. Deion has turned the whole thing on its ear. But you don't kill the story once they fall under 500. How bizarre is that?
No, it's like you've sat in the conference room, you've decided, you've looked at all the pictures, you've made your choice. It's like this year, Kathy Ireland is going to be the cover girl on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Then she gets in a ski accident and is in a full body cast. And you're like, well, we can't put her. I mean, we can't put a bathing suit over the full body cast and keep it. Yeah, you have to pivot, obviously. How about LeBron James, who's shooting 59% in his 21st?
No one even. Okay, this is a great look at you turning lemons into lemonade.
So obviously, you know, there's 10 guys you could pivot to in the.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's quickly. Let's not bellyache about it. Okay, they made a mistake. This is a weird choice to move forward with something because somebody already put pen to paper, apparently. But okay, who should be it? So LeBron's your sportsman of the year.
I mean, LeBron, and he's, I don't know if he can off the top of my head. I mean, maybe he's won it, but like, you know, people take LeBron for granted. Like, it's like he just like, oh, you know, he just put up another triple double. He's 12 for 16 from the floor. By the way, nobody can guard him on the way to the basket still. Like, when he puts his head down, he just gets to the basket. But also, like, when you're talking about sportsmanship, right? This guy, I mean, obviously it's been a dark week. I don't want to get into it with you, Sheck, as you're compromised, but no DUIs, no domestic violence, no awkward text chains with the side piece. Like, LeBron James should have been a model citizen while also winning 4 titles, a bunch of MVPs, and just like, yeah. So you could just have LeBron James in the event that Kathy Ireland's in a full body cast or Deion Sanders' team is terrible, go ahead and run this story. By the way, you could have AI write the LeBron story too. Ooh. It could be ready to go.
That's true. You're not absolutely Allen right. Iverson.
That would
Wait
be
a second.
Comparison. That'd be a good comparison. You ask Allen Iverson to write his LeBron story next to another AI story, and then pick the AI that wrote this story.
But I'm trying to come up with one good option. I get what you're saying about LeBron, but it's not like his team did anything. And I do think he's worthy of like a lifetime achievement sportsman of the year. What you're kind of getting at, who am I not thinking of here? Spaghetti. I mean, Tom Brady said it all earlier this week or last week when he said the state of the NFL is mediocre. Maybe it's all a sports. I mean, you know, I obviously Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin aren't going to get it. But if you want to give a lifetime achievement award, those guys could get it at any point before they're washed up. I don't know. Spaghetti, who am I forgetting? Is there some obvious choice? Oh, Jokic. Jokic should get it, right?
Jokic, Otani.
A great choice. I mean, you could give it to, you know, Acuna and Mookie Betts. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just transforming the position with the power speed numbers. I mean, when we were growing up,
interesting.
Like, oftentimes this, you know, I mean, Mookie's obviously an incredible human being if you want to include that part of the criteria, But like, I just feel like when we were growing up, there were just times when it's like, it's Wayne Gretzky. Oh, because he's a great guy? No, because he's the greatest living, you know, hockey player that ever lived. So yeah, it's weird to give it to a coach whose team is terrible.
Maybe you give it to offensive coordinators. I know I keep saying it, but it is clearly transcended every other element that you could possibly have. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are still great at football, but it doesn't appear either one's going anywhere. And isn't that the result of coaching, right? Whereas Jared Goff is going into a prominent spot in January. And I don't think anyone thinks that's because of Jared Goff or even Dan Campbell. They think it's because of Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator. I know that's uninspired, but also picking up a magazine and buying it with Deion Sanders being 4-8 is also uninspiring.
But how about Simone Biles, like bouncing back, you know, top of her sport again? I don't like any, basically anyone who is good at their sport would be a better choice over a coach who went 4-8.
Like, let's give it to Max McGee.
Why not Matt Rhule at Nebraska?
Pat Narduzzi at Pitt.
I don't get it. All right.
Tommy DeVito. Strange.
What's next?
Listen, Tommy DeVito. Yeah, go ahead. You jump in here. Okay. You're goat right. and goat
I'm
there.
So, I'm so fired up for goat and goat.
All good.
I hope that our buddy in Australia has a lot of lawn to mow. A lot of lawn.
We love the interactions, by the way, on social media and on YouTube. Does that count as social media? Either way, drop us a line on the 15-minute show and beyond. Good conversations going on -3 pod on Twitter. Let me squeeze in a quick break here. Let me ask you a question, Eddie Spaghetti. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? But before you answer, two words, Caesars Rewards. Those are the two words. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. I'm talking about hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, even more than just that. It's not only an app, it's an empire. 21 plus must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So there was a comedian named Scott LaRose, who you would actually recognize from all the national commercials he did. This is right when I moved to LA in the 90s. It was in every national commercial spot. But he had a bit he did going back to the first World Trade Center bombers who tried to blow it up with a Ryder truck parked in the garage. Mm-hmm. And his bit was about the way they caught those guys. was the terrorist went back to get his deposit back on the van. I'm going to need my deposit back on the van I blew up in the garage.
Is that like, true?
And that's a true story. And so they're like, we might have found the guy who blew up the van. And so Scott LaRose's bit was like, how big are this guy's balls? Like, how does he walk with these balls? And he would mime walking with giant bowling ball balls. And I was reminded of that Scott LaRose bit and giant balls watching the Ohio State Michigan game. Okay, you're Sherrone Moore. You are in a thankless position. Don't mess it up. Keep it going for when the king returns. Don't do anything stupid. Don't blow it. Up seven, first play of the fourth quarter in his own territory, halfback option. It was so awesome, you know, and I gave out Ohio State. I was rooting for Ohio State. But when the balls are that big that you need the guy who carries your headset wire, you need another guy to carry your balls up and down the sideline because you're calling a halfback option in your own territory up seven in a don't F this up situation. So Sherrone Moore, I saw that play and I was like, well, this game's over, you know, and they kicked the field goal to go up two scores. And obviously that was the difference. But I just sometimes like the Sean Payton, onside kick in the Super Bowl, you just have to tip your cap and go, fortune favors the bold. Not always, but in those circumstances, to be the interim coach and have balls that size, you know, the placeholder. I
agree. And I think that is, of all the things, the paradox of Bill Belichick and then how that informs the Patriots' 20-year run is the weird, like, just do your job. Don't do it. Like, please. Basically, the message to players is, although he encourages them to celebrate touchdowns and all that kind of stuff and have that kind of fun, but the idea of, like, express yourself athletically. No. Just do exactly what I'm telling you. Do not react in the moment. Just do exactly what I tell you and nothing beyond that. But I do think that the Patriots are so snoozy in so many ways. But then if you look back at their history, like so many critical moments within, it's not like they were just like, yeah, they beat everybody by eight. Everything comes down to a whisker here and there, from Tyree and Manningham on one side to all the Julian Edelman passes in title games and everything else. I think there's something to be learned from that. You got to have your foot on the gas a little bit. The guy who presents as sort of the most conservative of them all is Belichick. But in fact, like Parcells before him, they were the guys who would take shots in big moments when other coaches wouldn't.
In that Super Bowl run where they had to overcome not one, but two 14-point deficits against the Ravens in the Edelman to Amendola game.
Right.
That was also the game where he broke out the unbalanced line formation where Harbaugh got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty because he's like, that can't be legal. And the refs are like, believe it or not, it is. Like, it's, you know, so yes, fortune favors the bold. Sherrone Moore, good goat of the week. Bad goat. Okay. So Hannah Arendt, in her,
wait, you know what? I'm sorry. Go back. So let's wrap it up on the game. Do they have to fire Ryan Day? If you were an Ohio State fan, where would your head be? Do you suspect?
No.
Why? Now you say, like, what are we going to do? I get the logic. The level-headed reaction is, who are we getting to replace him? We're a great team, always in double digits with him as the head coach, but they can't beat the rival.
But
I can, you know, I can see, I mean, being,
I don't know. It's like, what are you going to, you know, McCord just throws that unconscionable ball, you know, the Ohio State defense is playing great. And then McCord sets Michigan up first and goal at the seven with a terrible throw. That's on the head coach. I don't know. Let me do my bad goat.
Go ahead.
Hannah Arendt introduced the idea of the banality of evil in her coverage of the Adolf Eichmann trial in Jerusalem. And, you know, her point,
Spaghetti was just talking about this to me this morning.
So, but her point was like, look, obviously Adolf Hitler is a sociopath who's frothing at the mouth and flop sweating and screaming at Nuremberg like he's a lunatic, you know. And I don't want to divide our audience. I mean, it's not a political statement. Hitler's a lunatic. But Adolf Eichmann was just like a middle management bureaucrat functionary. And her point is like a lot of regular folk just doing super evil things. So that's the banality of evil. And then a guy named Brian Klass just wrote a piece called The Banality of Crazy about how Trump just fire hoses so much lunacy, you know, calling his opponents vermin, threatening a judge's wife, you know, asking for 11,780 votes, asking to come to D.C. It's going to be wild that you just, you know, can't. The New York Times would have to have 8 front page stories a day to give Trump the coverage his insanity and criminality and corruption and drive to end the American experiment after 250 years, to cover it as it deserves to be covered, you would just have to dedicate all your resources to the fire hose of insanity and criminality and corruption. But what we're in now is the banality of crazy, which is, it's Trump. What are you going to do? Of course, he threatened the clerk. Of course, he threatened the judge's wife. Of course, he's got top secret documents in his bathroom. It's Trump. Like, it's just like it's a given. There's no. So the media doesn't even know how to cover Trump. So now I want to talk about my bad goat, the banality of Draymond. Okay. Draymond Green has created like an extra legal, extrajudicial, one of one category for himself. Nobody else behaves like this. Start to finish, every NBA game, Draymond, he starts towering over the officials. He starts haranguing the officials. You know, he's a constant. So, you know, Claude Lemieux is this way. Obviously, a lot of hockey players are this way, where it's like, I want to be on the edge every shift, all the time. So Draymond is constantly breaking the rules, complaining when he gets called for breaking the rules. And when you look at his level of recidivism, you're like, well, as a society, obviously we have to have a shorter fuse, a lower tolerance for bad conduct by this guy, because we need to be able to police this guy to keep him from ruining the game. The exact opposite has happened.
That's
they
right.
Indulged Draymond. If I were an official, when Draymond said, "Hi, how are you doing?" I would give him a technical foul. Now you have one. The next thing you say to me will get you thrown out of the game. But what they do is they really like, let's hear your thoughts on that call, Draymond. Let's have you tower over me, get right in my face, and do your performance art for the whole arena, and I'll just sit there and eat it because you're Draymond Green. Whereas if Tim Duncan said something to Joey Crawford, he got teed up right away.
That's
but
right.
Draymond Green has created the banality of Draymond, which is like, well, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't knock out a teammate in practice today. So we're going to cut him some slack. Against the Kings this week, Draymond pretended that he got elbowed in the throat, and he lay on the ground like a fish on a dock, writhing for like a minute, to the point that Steve Kerr was begging him to get up and go play defense, because Draymond, everybody knows you're not hurt, that you're doing this, your Draymond thing, which is like, I exist in my own world, the banality of Draymond. I do whatever I want. Occasionally I get suspended. Maybe I cost my team a championship by getting suspended. But it's like, hey, man, we are dealing with a sociopath who doesn't believe the rules apply to him.
Also claims victimhood when he does get victimhood. Those
suspensions. I've never committed a foul. And so, and he's able to, you know, kind of like physically, like he wants to reduce more talented players to his level. He wants to clutch and grab in the neutral zone. He wants to get his way away with as much extra legal behavior as possible, and then claim victimhood when they go, that's a foul. You're not allowed to wrap your arms around the guy's waist or his throat. Like, So I just watch him and it's like, it's a bummer. It's a bummer to watch him do his thing. It's so old. It's so tired. And I feel like the league and the officials are like, what do we do? What do we do? And it's like, well, if you keep doing nothing, then it's never going to end. Every night, three poor saps have to listen to that guy's one man show. And it's like, just end it. Just go. Everyone go to the Joey Crawford, Tim Duncan league wide. Draymond, you're not allowed to talk to the officials. You're just not allowed. And I watch them indulging him, you know, and they're sitting there. He's like, it's like he's dripping on them. And it's like, I just F this guy already, man. It's
when you can, I really do think it's like Steven Seagal. He is above the law based on what our pal Adam Carolla always says is like, and we'll insert the name Draymond here. You know what he means when he says like, that's Draymond being Draymond. You have now put yourself above settled law because people can excuse your behavior. That's, he's just being him, even though it's bad. I remember one year about 15 years or so ago, my parents didn't call me on my birthday. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, what the hell? You know, just better make sure. And so I blew in a call and old Mo Damashek took the call. And I said, no call on my birthday. And she said, yeah, I'm ironic though, that you'd be the one saying that. It's not like you send cards to anybody for their birthday, but I'm like, I've set the standard. And I've done that. I did that a long time ago. You shouldn't expect a card. Your standard is different than mine, though. You always call me and sing happy birthday. No call. So you need to suffer the consequences of that. And I'm vexed by it because this transitions neatly. Surprised you didn't mention the name Trent Frederick, because he was victimized this past week, wasn't he, Kevin Hench? I'm curious about your thoughts on his tangle with Jacob Trouba. I was anxious to hear this one. Trouba, I know what Spaghetti's going to say. I'm not going to steal your thunder here, Spaghetti. But what he just described in Draymond is exactly the standard that Jacob Trouba benefits from. Right, Hench? Well, it's like, well, that's how Trouba plays. If anybody else hit the player in the head with a stick, it would be suspended and that's it. You wouldn't be able to get away with it.
I'm more worried about the metaphorical stick that the Rangers hit the Bruins with as they've sent us into a tailspin. Yeah. I'm assuming by the time this airs, I shouldn't jinx it, but that maybe we've eked one out against the Sharks Thursday night. But the Rangers destroying the Bruins in all phases. But I can't. I know Trouba, it's not an inapt analogy with Draymond, but as someone who has largely defended Trouba and the way he plays, I mean, first of all, he doesn't spend the whole game talking to the officials, which is like, I don't know why they're indulging Draymond. Stop talking to me. Go shoot.
Because it puts them on camera. That's why.
So, but I feel like I would be, if I pivoted immediately on Trouba because of his gangsterism happened to be against my team, I might be a little hypocritical, but I'll let Spaghetti take the floor.
All right. And I do want to say in advance, because I don't feel like Spaghetti. I think Spaghetti feels like I'm going at him. And what this is going to turn into is him impugning Penguins and Devils fans for being soft and not liking it. Well, correct. I mean, well, because
let me read a great quote from Larry Brooks.
Let me just say something to you. I think that for all my talk, I don't root for the Rags. Obviously, I hope they don't win the Stanley Cup, but I think you should be betting them at 10-1 right now. I mean, I think the Avs are the better betted. I think they're 8-1 right now. The Knights are riding high, but man, I think the Rags are a little undervalued by the way they look right now. I mean, keep in mind the players that they're without, they are suffocating in their own end. I mean, the Penguins a few nights ago almost literally couldn't get a puck through clean on goal. I mean, they are suffocating in their on their end of the ice because of that blue line. And that includes Trouba. Doesn't mean that he's not filthy, though. Please have at it.
I don't think, I mean, he's not a filthy player. It just to go on this hit, his exact quotes from what happened on the ice was, it was like, obviously it was accidental, but like he did it. And then the Trent Frederick was like, wait, that actually just happened. He was like, sorry, my bad. Didn't mean to do that. Like they were fine on the ice. no penalty called on the ice, not brought up after the game. Like there was no, like, it wasn't a big deal at all until the NHL, like the player safety department fined him. But then you have the fans of the Penguins and of the Devils who always have to chime in on Trouba. Devils fans who
fans, the media chimed in.
I mean, right. If the player who got hit with it said it was accidental and it wasn't a big deal and they're fine on the ice, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with
Bill Bork. Played for the Rangers. He's in the bag against them too.
But Jacob Trouba came out and said it was accidental. He said that stuff can't happen. And then Trent Frederick, who received the high stick, was like, he was like, oh, it was a mess up. It's fine. Move on.
I agree. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. But
this is a great quote. Larry Brooks, the New York Post, said the population in Pittsburgh apoplectic since Trouba took out cherished Sidney Crosby in game 5 of the 2022 first round, all but demanded a military tribunal be convened over this. It's just like, it just shows you that certain fan bases are never going to be good with the player. I don't care if you guys are upset right now. The Rangers are better than the Penguins. The Rangers are better than the Devils right now. Jacob Trouba would be the best all-around defenseman on the Penguins, bar none. And defensively, he's by far better than anyone you have in the
defensive
roster.
Defensive defenseman. Okay.
I just said all around.
You said all around defenseman.
Look, if he injured Trent Frederick, obviously it's a huge thing. He said it happened. Also, there's different angles of that play too, where like
my point is the preponderance of those moments that involve Jacob Trouba's stick or elbow. That's the point. Same thing with Draymond. It's like, it's funny that it keeps being the same guy who is highlighted or low light.
Draymond's getting suspended and is getting like, where are the penalties and suspensions against Trouba?
Not enough.
All right. I hear your notes.
You're wrong. You're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm never going to drop that.
You're not obliged to defend.
Always ready. Like, you know, anybody I didn't alienate with my Hannah Arendt totality of evil reference is now abandoned the podcast as we talk about a hockey play that 0.1% of sports fans saw as Sheck. Sheck is like writing Jacob Trouba in Jerusalem, the banality of evil. Like, when is this guy going to be tried for his war crimes? If it wasn't for the Crosby hit, he would, none of this, it's all based on one play.
Of course.
It's not based on one play. It's not as though I didn't know going into that series 2 years ago.
Your personal antipathy is based on one play.
Right. I don't care about a military tribunal and Larry Brooks of the Post can say whatever he wants. But the fact that people don't want to acknowledge it, Rags fans, is that if Trouba's elbow doesn't get Crosby in the head, the Penguins win that series. That's not true.
You were up multiple goals. You were up multiple goals and like game clinching scenarios, and you cannot hold the lead and you lost because you were not the better team. Simple as that. There's no excuse. Up multiple goals, especially in the third period. No excuse.
Like, you have other good players. What could you do?
You have other good players
in the world was removed.
Other good players. He is not the best player in the world at that current moment, and you had other good players on your team and you still lost. And the fact that the New York Post, which is a very popular publication in New York, the editor is like, yeah, make fun of the entire city and fan base of Pittsburgh. That should speak volumes to you about how much you guys whine.
Listen, that's flattering. If the New York Post is on the other side of the argument, that's good news.
But that doesn't bother you that the Pittsburgh, like, that you're getting made fun of by the New York media?
You see who writes at the New York Post? No, that doesn't bother me.
Larry Brooks has been covering the league for decades, so I don't care.
And he's in the bag for the Rags, so that's fine. All right, listen.
Hey guys, I just went and got a cup of coffee. What are you guys talking about?
I was trying to go. All right, Spaghetti, you haven't even done your goat and goat yet. So
I did the Dion. This SI cover, but they get the bad goat. Good goat quickly is just, I guess it's like a semi bad goat, but the Doak Walker Award, not including Audra Guesame, arguably the best running back in college football, going to be, if not the first running back taken in the first round, probably the second running back taken. He's going to be, you know, a great NFL player. And they don't announce him as part of the finalists for Doak Walker. And credit to him for coming out and saying, like, it actually bothered him. A lot of players are like, I don't care about the individual stuff. I just care about my team, whatever. He said he found it the night before, and he said it was hard for him to deal with because it was a goal of his to be at least nominated, or if not to win that award. And what does he do versus Stanford? 25 carries, 238 rushing yards, 9.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns versus a terrible Stanford team. He almost broke the Notre Dame record for single yards in a game, but they benched him, so he obviously wouldn't injure himself because he probably won't play in the bowl game. Notre Dame will have most likely on New Year's Day. So he'll end up in the NFL and make some team very, very happy. But great player. Love to see him play for in the last couple of years. And for him to be omitted from the Doak Walker, like I don't know what else you needed from a running back, a guy that's putting up insane stats and is graded right now by all the draft analysts as the best college football running back is just absurd. But I love the honesty from him, and obviously followed up with a great game. So he gets good goat easily.
More like, more like the Joke Walker Award with that omission. It's ridiculous. All right, okay. But Spaghetti, you have to do this. This is just like when DiCaprio wouldn't go to the Oscars the year of Titanic because he personally was not nominated for an acting Oscar. I'm not going to support Winslet and Cameron because I was not nominated.
Did that happen?
Yep. Okay, really? DiCaprio. Give us a name. Who were you better than? Robert Duvall? You have to say, like, there's five nominees.
Fair.
You have to say you were better than Peter Fonda and Yulee's Gold. That's fine.
I was just going to drop Spaghetti in a belated goat. Yes, I like this idea. I'm buying Spaghetti a few seconds to think about it while I mention that.
Well, what do I have to name?
Who a guy
that on the list that Esme should have been there instead of.
I mean, I could really get in the nitty. I mean, I don't know.
Yes. Blake Corum
scored like 22 touchdowns, but he had less than 1,000, rushing yards. So, I mean, my other problem too is like, there's a lot of like smaller school guys on it, like, which is, bothersome for me too. So, I mean, I don't know if your team is like out of it or I don't love
it's
the idea.
It's a little harder. Okay. I'm just saying it's a little harder when you have to, ruin some kid's life who's not going to play at the next level. Get off the Doak Walker list, guy who's going to be bagging groceries.
I'm happy to hear that Notre Dame's team rushing record of all of time is not as great as Tony Dorsett's 275 against those same Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That pleases my ear to hear that. All right, let's talk about, that's it for you, Spaghetti, on Goat and Goats, and we can jump into our best bets here.
Oh, yeah, I'm all done.
Okay, you're all done. By the way, I do think it's a funny note that now it's been made official. Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in a football game in 2023. It's a neat completion of the circle because, of course, the Browns or the Ravens are really the Browns, and Flacco started with the Ravens, and now he's finishing with the Browns as their starting quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is in the news. Matthew Stafford is worth giving a shout out to, by the way. I think that team has the NFC playoffs are going to stink. The first round, at least the wild card, is going to be lousy. Some massive mismatches on that side. But I think Matthew Stafford and the Rams have a chance to go 5-1 here. And that speaks to Tom Brady's comment about the overall mediocrity of the NFL. And now a quick break.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hench, you start us off. I'm I'm assuming you're going to get into some of the championship games on Saturday or elsewhere. The world's your oyster. Have at it.
Well, I first off, here on the minus three, I have to say that I've been very surprised to see the Niners minus three at Philly. You know, minus three, minus 2.5. It's very weird that the
Why do you think it is? What's your hypothesis that makes it that way?
I think it's a weird thing, which is, I mean, I do think it has to do with the Niners have literally been improving their roster as the season goes along. You know, Randy Gregory was a nice add, and then adding Chase Young after adding Randy Gregory. So that's
hugely. As you talked about 2 weeks ago, it is weirdly, maybe it's because they were on a bye, and maybe it's because they were in the midst of a losing streak and all of that, and some doubts about Brock Purdy and all that. But man, that one went right under the radar. This is the first overall draft pick who really did make a huge impact when he was healthy in Washington in his rookie year. Now you're throwing him in next to Nick Bosa and Randy Gregory and the rest of that front. Yeek.
So I think, you know, as we've learned, when you see a line that seems 6 points out of whack, right? You're like, obviously the 10-1 NFC defending champion favorites should be favored by a field goal in this. So your first instinct is, well, I gotta get on the Eagles, but that's not how it works, right? We all know that Vegas has figured this out. And I think they're right. I'm on the Niners this week. I think, you know, defense travels, obviously C-Mac and the running game. And as many of these games as they've been winning, the Eagles seem to be, you know, they should have lost to the Cowboys. They should have lost to the Bills. This is the week they actually do. I like the Niners as one of my best bets.
I love this. Just to talk about them specifically right now, Jalen Hurts is tracking towards the MVP. We dig in on this one a little bit in the MVP odds on the 15-minute pregame show. But so avoiding those specifics, it is. I think with that last victory over the Bills, now people have handed the MVP trophy to Hurts and the number one seed to the Eagles. Look into the crystal ball here, because now's the time. This is when the getting's good to zig against the zag of the collective opinion. Do you think the Eagles are going to blow this? Because they go, obviously, if anybody doesn't know, after hosting the Niners, then they travel down to Big D to play Dak and company. How say you? I mean, it's plausible that they could wind up on the road in wild card week.
I don't think they will. I mean, I think, you know, they do seem to be a collection of winners who make plays, you know, so Dallas is obviously for real, and I'm very happy with my plus 350 bet at the beginning of the season that the Super Bowl winner will come from that division.
Great call. Yes.
Two very good teams going into the playoffs.
Nice. I think you're going to be able to, well, the Niners can still screw that up.
The Niners can still screw me in there.
At least you can hedge that with the Super Bowl, if one of the two NFC East teams gets it.
And they win this week. And then another small favorite that I'm on in the best bets here. It's like, you know, I don't know when you probably got up for class. Spaghetti probably got up for class too. Like I never went to class in college. I mean, but the crazy thing is
11 a.m. might have been the first class I would attend.
But for 4 years, I would set my alarm as if I was going to go to class. I don't know. Like, who was I kidding? Today's the day. Today's the day I make it to my 9 a.m. class. And then I wouldn't turn my alarm off. I would snooze till noon. Like, I would snooze 9 minutes at a time through all my classes. And then it's like, well, your last class of the day is over. Oh, okay. Now I can get out of bed. And I think when I look at the Lions snooze bar, like, they've had so many wake-up calls. They've had a month of wake-up calls. Like, it's like, what is going on with this team? Maybe they stink. They obviously were terrible on Thanksgiving, but I think the fourth hit of the snooze bar, they wake up this week. I think this team is not as terrible as they played against the Packers, as they played against the Bears, as the defense played against the Chargers, as the whole team played against the Ravens. They are not this terrible, and they beat the Saints by a touchdown this
week. Well, you talk about favoring the bold. I do think you can anticipate. It's got to be a little bit of a scary proposition. I don't think you want to catch the Lions in January. If you're one of the very few heavy hitters in the NFC, and those are, again, the Cowboys, Niners, and Eagles, and then that's it. And the Lions are trying to be in that high-end group, and everyone else is a phony in that conference. But you know Dan Campbell is going to roll the dice over and over again. That is going to be an element you're going to have to deal with. He's going to go against conventional wisdom all 60 minutes. I'm kind of with you. I just don't know how to read them after the last couple of weeks when they've looked mediocre at best.
And then just real quick, I mean, it's like you look at these title games. I thought Oregon would be a 5.5-point favorite. I'm a little
blown away by it.
I'm sticker shocked by that number, but I still think they win. My kind of cowardly tease is tease Georgia down to a pick 'em and tease the Ducks down to 3.5.
I like that one quite a bit. And I'm also, as a man of justice, I'm kind of, the double standard that people apply. It is funny that there isn't much buzz for Washington going if they lose. Everybody has decided Georgia needs to go if they lose to Alabama, but it's understood that if Oregon beats Washington, well, the Huskies are out. That's a weird bit of math as far as I'm concerned, given that Bama isn't, I know by record they are, but they're not as good as Oregon is. Anyway, SEC bias over the Pac-12. Spaghetti, go ahead there.
Speaking of SEC bias, Nick Saban just came out with this quote. I think it would be a disrespect to the SEC if there wasn't SEC representation in the Final Four. I do believe that.
I have actually heard some of that, Spaghetti. You correct me in the moment, and I'm glad you did, because I have heard like Booger McFarland and people like that saying like, well, Bama beats Georgia, you don't send anyone from the SEC, as though that would be a reasonable outcome. Obviously, it's not going to go that way.
Yeah, I think there'll be an SEC team there.
Imagine Georgia or Bama doesn't wind up there, but they send Florida State with their backup QB to the Final.
Well, four. Look, people I mean, the whole world needs Louisville to win that game, right?
Yes.
Just to prevent.
That is the great solve, right?
I am taking Louisville with the 2.5. That game, Florida State, I know like going into the swamp is always tough, but I mean, Florida also was playing with a backup quarterback because Graham Mertz was injured, and their defense is absolutely terrible, and Florida State cannot move the ball. It actually even took more than a half for their defense to get involved and kind of slow down Florida's offense. If Florida wasn't making mistakes and just bad special team stuff, I mean, they could have won that game. So that was a real shocker to me that obviously Rodemaker not as talented as Jordan Travis. So I think Louisville, bad loss to Pitt. They did lose to Kentucky, but had some quality victories on that schedule, obviously beating Notre Dame too, which ruined their season. So I do think Louisville has it in them to win that game. And Georgia giving the 5.5. I like Georgia. I think Bama, the big games this year, they kind of fell flat. Obviously, with Milroe losing to Texas, he has been playing better. Then he goes down to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And if it wasn't for a miraculous, fourth and 31, once in a lifetime sort of play, they lose that game too. So I just don't think they're not really on the same level as Georgia right here. And I know me and Chuck talked about this, but I don't know if I love it anymore. It did drop a point to giving 22, but the Iowa Michigan game could be a weird one. If Michigan's up like 17 points, they're like, yeah, Iowa, we're not going to even mess with our guys leaving them in. We could just, bench everyone and win this game, because like the Iowa totals, like obviously the 35 points is the lowest for a title conference game, conference title game ever. The team total is 6.5. Like it's in their and the Iowa's team total for the first half against Michigan is 0.5 point. It's absurd. So it's like they know they're not going to be able to score with them. So that's one interesting thing to look at, too, if you want to, take Iowa and the points there. Would not be shocked if it's close. It's close, but not actually close.
My bets are all over the podcast we've already done this week on Extra Points, a great one with Bill Crawford and Sarah Tiana. And earlier in the week with Jeff Schwartz, we did a great deep dive on the championship Saturday upcoming here. I'll give you two real quick following up on what Spaghetti just said there. I think it's a fun bet to bet Iowa's team side, a fluke, a punter's chance that you'll get a special teams touchdown, right? I mean, something like that could go their way. And if you get that, then it makes it more likely that Iowa is going to cover the plus 22. I like that bet in general for exactly the reason Spaghetti said, that Harbaugh is going to yank him. They have no incentive to leave J.J. McCarthy and beyond on the field if they get up, say, you know, 17 points. They know Iowa's not coming back from that. And then also a little homerism here. Getting excited. I don't want to get over my skis, but I do think with Minkah Fitzpatrick, that defense is going to be that much better. Look for a Minkah pick in there. I'm going to also go with the Arizona total points under 17 and a half. The Steelers defense has been mighty even without Minkah the last month. This is the Arizona Cardinals we're talking about, everybody. Under 17 and a half payout is minus 115. And that's it. They're all our best bets aside from the NFL best plays for you. You'll hear all those on the 15-minute pregame show, again, available on social media at 4 p.m. Eastern. And that's that. Final thoughts, Hench?
Banality of Draymond. I want copywritten.
Like that a lot.
I reject the, for the moment, I'm not going to put Trouba in that category.
Okay. I don't like that.
I'll leave it to you to tell us what it's been a thin slice of.
All right. You know what? I wish you nothing but the best, Hench. I wish you nothing but the best, Spaghetti. I hope anyone within the sound of my voice, I hope their team wins this weekend, unless they're playing my team. And we'll talk to you on the other side of the sports weekend. And until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.